get to preach this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is, I've done this lesson before actually, but it's probably been 2 or 3 years, but it's a very general and broad topic and lesson, and my goal in this is for that purpose, for it to be kind of general and broad, but it's to look at our purpose in life. And obviously as Christians, we have very many specific commands that we have to follow. We have a lot of certain things we have to do in our lifestyle, things we need to do, things we can't do. And we're all very well that there are many specific things we have to do in Christians. But I think that it's both encouraging and challenging, too, to step back sometimes and to kind of look at things in the bigger picture, because in simplifying our life, it can help encourage us in not getting overwhelmed or caught up and dwelling in all the things we have to do, the things that we can't do, and just some of the struggles of the Christian lifestyle. It's kind of one of those ideas of you can't see the forest because of the trees sometimes. You're kind of in it too much. And so it's helpful to step back sometimes and to just really look at what is our purpose, what is our life really about, instead of, like I said, getting caught up in so many of the things that really don't matter, or, like I said, being discouraged in so many specific things. So the focus of this lesson is simplicity and encouragement of what our life is about. And that's what I've titled this lesson, is just what life is all about, or what our purpose is. We're all familiar with this scripture I have here on this slide, Ecclesiastes 12:13. This is the closing remarks of Ecclesiastes and Solomon going through and discussing all of the things he did in his life to try to get happiness, and all of the wisdom he tried to seek, and all the things he tried to build, and all the pleasures he delved into. And at the end of it, the question is, what's the conclusion? What's the point of all of it? And this is his answer: is fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And so I just want to open with that when we get caught up in all the things, and when we're, like I said, can be discouraged by so many things, our life is really very simple. And it's that we need to serve God and keep his commandments. And that's all that we really should be focused on. I have a little visual aid here, I guess I would call it. I have lots of clip arts and pictures to come along with this. But I think it can paint a pretty good picture of what our life can be overwhelmed with in so many situations. And I have a lot of different things I'm going to bring up here. But you just put it in your own life. You bring to mind all the things that you can get caught up in. And I think it'll help us in realizing that too many times we focus on and get caught up in too many things that really don't matter. Obviously, we're at church this morning, and that's a priority for us. It's obviously something we care about, is we are trying to serve God, and we want to worship Him. We want to live the lifestyle we should, and so that's on our schedule. We have to do spiritual things. We have to be here at worship, and then obviously outside of it, we have lots of things to do that are spiritual. But then we also have work. Obviously, the majority of our time is spent in our day-to-day, our Monday through Friday. We have work, or we're younger and we're in school, and that takes up a big chunk of our week and our life. Obviously, like I said, that's the majority of what we spend our time in. And family is a big issue. In the home, you have children and babies. We have a lot of young ones here. I know that that takes a lot of effort. That takes up our time. We have those things to focus about in the week. And we have all these to consider all at once. Again, the family, we try to spend time with our family at home, and we know that we want to have a stronger relationship with our family. We try to focus around the dinner table and have family meals. We try to read on our own and pray when we're at home. Obviously, we need to bring our spiritual lives at home. So we have that we need to fit in. Commuting and traffic, we have to go to town and get things. We know that when you get off work or school, it's still, I've got to go to town and get this. Or maybe we have a commute and we have to drive 45 minutes to work, and that, back and forth. Now that's an hour and a half in your day. That's something else that we've got going on. That's all together. We have chores. We have to mow our yard. We wash our cars. We have hobbies. Maybe the kids are playing sports, or we're in sports ourselves. We have more things to do at home. Okay, after we did some of our hobbies or we took the kids to soccer practice, now we have to come home and I've got all this cleaning to do. And there's maintenance and other chores to do around the house. There's more things that come up. Okay, now I forgot. I've got to get new tires or I have to change my oil. More hobbies, soccer. Oh, I got to get groceries. We're at work again. Things like when tax season comes around or clerical things you have to do at work or just those odd little things that, you know, annually rolls around. Okay, now I've got to do that. And we have our hobbies. Dad rides horses. We have other people who ride horses here. More hobbies. We try to relax some. Okay, well, I've got all this going on. I need to at least watch some TV. Well, that TV is just even more on your schedule. And, well, let's go to the movies and take a break. And so at the end of the day, we can see, and like I said, this is just kind of a visual aid here, but you have your hobbies, interests, and these are not things that are bad within themselves. These are just things that enter our life, and we try to have things to make our life simpler. We try to have interests to enjoy life. We try to have things to relax. But in the greater scheme of things, lots of times it's, wow, I'm overwhelmed. Look at all I just did. And we're trying to do good, but like I said, it's just can be overwhelming at times. And that's not how life should be. Obviously, we can have our interests and we can have things to enjoy life, but we don't need to get caught up in all these things. I want to focus first on what life is not about. Status, money, material things, interests. Again, those things aren't always, they're not bad within themselves, but that's not what it's about. And that's usually kind of what we get caught up in. And in going through this, this is a struggle for me. We're all humans. We all struggle with this. In just dealing with these earthly things that we're always around and these goals we have, they're not even bad, but it's, am I spending the right amount of time and am I really focusing on what really matters? Let's go to the first chapter of Ecclesiastes and begin the book here. Very familiar scripture, but this is kind of the heart of Solomon getting started in what is the issue, what's the problem, what is this all about? And he starts off and talking about a lot of things I just talked about. He calls them all vain and their vanities. And lots of these things, again, like I just mentioned, that he gets involved with in his life aren't bad. They're not sinful. But he just comes to realize that they're vain. So it's the same thing that I'm just talking, I just finished talking about in all of these things and what do they matter. So let's read the first 12 verses. It says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises up and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuit the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full to the place where the streams flow. There they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. This kind of goes beyond just those daily activities or the things that don't satisfy, but he also just gets into just how the world works. And then it's just this big cycle and circuit, and there's really no end to it. And it's just kind of weariness and vain. Now if you would go to the second chapter, and let's read the beginning of it. Here he kind of gets into some of those pleasures, titled them self-indulgences here, of him trying to get satisfaction and contentment in what he surrounded his life with. Said, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of pleasure what use is it? I searched with my heart how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. I had slaves who were born in my house. I had also great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and treasures of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, the delight of sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. For my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done, and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. We then fast forward to the end of the chapter of the scripture that I just kind of opened with, of what's the conclusion, what's it all about, what does he finally say, and it's that we need to fear God and serve Him, do what He says, because that's really what matters. Again, I want to reiterate that that can sound discouraging at times, but I don't want this to be discouraging in that, oh, we have to give up all these things that we're interested in, because, like I said, those things aren't sinful, and we have the authority and ability to do those. But it should be encouraging when you get to the point of those things being overwhelmed and being stressful. And Solomon realized this here, that they were vain to him. So it's not about the status. Solomon, he had it. He definitely had the money and the material things, and he had his own interests, but that he came to find that that's what life wasn't about. Philippians 3:7 says, but what things were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. Just the idea of lots of these gains and things we can have can be a detriment to our service and our spiritual lives. And so, again, those things that we count as gain, the position we're trying to get, the status and the reputation we want to have, the hobbies we have, those things that we consider gain can really kind of get in our way sometimes. And here it was said that it was, he counted it loss for Christ. Life really isn't about being happy. That can sound discouraging, but like I said again, when we get caught up in trying to be content and satisfying and pleasure and happy, and that can sometimes we bring too many things in our life, and really, even that's not what our purpose here is. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. It's not about being happy, and how do we know that? Jesus himself talks here in these verses that it's not about happiness, it's not going to be peaceful, it's not about being smooth and convenient, but the reason he came and what our life is can really be quite contrary to that. It says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Some pretty tough and challenging things he mentions there, but the point is that when we try to make everything work out and be smooth and we think that's our focus and we use all of our energy in trying to be happy, even Christ says that in serving Him and living the Christian lifestyle, it's not what it's about. It's going to be quite different than that. And sometimes we're going to have to face struggles and really hard things just because there's things we have to adhere by and our life is going to be different as Christians. So it's not about being happy, and like I keep mentioning it, that can sound discouraging, but I think we could all say, I know in my own life, lots of those things that we try to make ourselves happy with are those same things that we can become overwhelmed with. And are, when you look at that clouded picture again of our lives and what all we have to do or we think we have to do, it's really can become quite discouraging within itself. We just talked about Solomon here. He realized that only spiritual things mattered, and that was what the real contentment and joy came from. These are just some examples and characters here to look at in what life is not about. When you think of Moses, he was royalty. He was in Egypt, and he had a position of power, and he was in the height of Egypt and all of its glory, and he gave that up to live this Christian lifestyle and to really focus on what satisfies and what his true purpose was. And so, we again, another example of someone who realized what it wasn't all about, and he realized what it was about. Going into the New Testament, when you think of the disciples, think of when Jesus first came, and you have all these men who are in their day-to-day lives. They have jobs just like we do. They have their families just like we do. They have their own lives, their interests. You know, we kind of like our routine of, I have this job, I have these interests and hobbies, this is how I like to spend my time. They're in that same situation. It's easy for us to, when we read the Bible, to kind of be, not misguided, but to kind of be blinded by ourselves in that, oh, these disciples, yeah, they this was their purpose, you know, this was, it was easy for them, that was their, you know, that was their life, because we just start off reading about them and then they're serving Jesus and following Him. But you have to put yourself in their shoes and know that they had lives just like you, and Christ really challenged them and to ask, you know, come with me and help teach others. Come with me and really do good. Come with me and really fulfill your real purpose in life. And they had a lot to give up. And so, like I said, when we compare ourselves to them, they gave up their lives, jobs, being with their family, being in their hometown, traveling, being on the road. They realized that's not what it was about. They knew that this was the Son of God and they wanted to follow Him and focus on what really matters. Also, Paul, we're reading some of his letters right now, Sunday morning. One of the biggest, greatest authors in the New Testament. He was not always a Christian, we know, and he persecuted Christians and was definitely not living right, but he gave up what he thought he was doing right and being persecuting Christians and living how he wanted and completely turning his life around to serving God. So yet another example of what life wasn't about. He came to that realization and knew that, okay, there's a spiritual side of things and I want to serve God. So now let's focus on, now that we, you know, those things we get caught up on and we realize, okay, that doesn't matter. I need to focus on, you know, I need to be in a routine of reminding myself when I'm stressed out on these things. It doesn't matter. What is it about? Simply, it's about God. That's obvious. And I want to focus on just, I have 3 points here of what our life is about. It's all about God. It's about accepting His gospel and being saved, obviously. If we're not in a saved condition, if we're not a Christian, then our life really was vain, because that's the starting point. After we're a Christian, we have to live the lifestyle. We have to obey His commands, serve Him. It's obvious. And then once we're doing that, our purpose is to teach others. And so, starting off, like I said, the first point is accepting His gospel. We can't fulfill this duty and really fulfill our purpose of why we were created and what life is about if we don't first accept His gospel. And Luke says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of why Jesus came, was to seek and save the lost. And so we know Jesus' whole lifestyle and leaving heaven and God and being here was to save us. And so obviously we have to obey the gospel. And if that was Christ's main goal and purpose in life, and He's our Savior, obviously it's important for us to accept that gospel and to seek salvation. Also in Luke, familiar verse, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Again, this is the starting point. If we don't obey the gospel, we're going to perish, and we're not going to have that eternal paradise like we want. We're not going to be able to fulfill our purpose here on life. We're not going to have instruction on how to deal with the stressful things, how to deal with temptations, how to live a happy lifestyle. We have to accept the gospel. Another verse, this is a really good verse for going along with this idea and this theme of this lesson, is, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? All those things we can get tied down with. And it's easy. Those things, what is it worth? And especially those who are outside the church and aren't Christians, aren't even believers, what are they going to have when they have their 70 years on earth? And yeah, they sought after a lot of material things, and those things we get caught up in, the status, the financial peace. That 70 years is going to be compared to something that we can't fathom in eternity. And so what does that matter? It doesn't. And so, again, we have to start, obviously, with being Christians to start this journey and lifestyle. once we have that, the majority of our life, and this is the main point, is we have to serve God. And obviously that means obeying the gospel, obeying God's commands, serving Him fully, knowing the Scriptures, worshiping Him. And like I mentioned earlier, there are lots of specific commands we have as Christians and duties we should do and things we should live by and things we have to stay away from. But that's for another lesson. And that's, like I said, I'm trying to focus on the broader scheme here of let's not get caught up and be discouraged or stressed by all the things we have to do and how maybe hard our lifestyle can be at times, but just that I just have to serve Him. That's it. Let me just read. I believe in God. I trust His Word. Let me just read His Word and obey these commands. Our main purpose is to serve God. Why should we serve God? There are many reasons, but one is that that's why we were made. And that's kind of interesting to think about. Lots of times when we think about serving God, it's because, we want to go to heaven. We have to serve God. We serve God because there are lots of good, useful things in the Scriptures for us to have a happy lifestyle and have contentment and real satisfaction. But how often do you think about that? That's the reason we were made, was to serve Him. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." When you think of workmanship, like it says here, that's kind of like, you know, think about what is your workmanship or what is your fruits, I guess, like when you labor and you have what do you produce through your job or through your hobbies, whatever. Well, God and His work was us. That was His workmanship. And it says that we were created in Jesus for good works. The purpose here is for good works. And it says that God prepared it beforehand that we should walk in them. So when you really try to go back to since before things were created, this was God's whole plan was, I'm going to create these people, and they're going to be my workmanship. I'm going to create them in my image. And the purpose is for good works and for them to serve me. And like I said, even since before time began, He was thinking of these things. And that was His whole plan. And we should be reminded by that. Also in Colossians 1, verse 16 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things were created through Him and for Him." Going, even though this lesson doesn't apply to this, but all of creation, animals, plants, all the awesome things. I love being in the outdoors and hiking and camping and traveling and seeing new things. And this whole world, even beyond us, was made for God. It was made by Him, through Him, for Him. And we have to be reminded by that. And that should encourage us that all these things that I see and that aren't really, you know, for my pleasure. They weren't created for our gain, or they weren't created for my interest or for my enjoyment. They were created by God and for His purpose. Obviously, we have things on earth here that help us live. But, like I said, the end of that verse there says all things were created through Him and for Him. So we have to be reminded by that. That should be encouraging to us that all these things that I can get caught up in and that can be overwhelming and stressful, they really don't matter. Because all that God created, all that I can see around me was created by God. And it was for Him and His own purposes. Also in Revelations 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So that kind of puts a different spin on it, that for God's pleasure they were created. So again, we have to know that it's not about us and what we want and the things that we can get bogged down and tied down with. All that we see and that we're around were created by God for His own pleasure and for His own reasons. And so I think that that can be humbling and encouraging when we think about that. And in realizing what our life is about and focusing on that purpose, that should help us. We should also serve Him because it's the greatest commandment, going beyond just the fact that it was why we were made, which should be good enough. But in going into the Christian lifestyle and thinking of all the things we have to do, the greatest command that we're given is, just generally put, that we have to serve Him with everything we've got. Matthew 22:34-38. Let's turn to Matthew 22. We'll read those four verses. Matthew chapter 22. starting in verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.'" And so you have here someone here with kind of some ill plans to test him, and he's not really genuinely asking him what the greatest command is. But you see Jesus' answer to this question, that you shall love the Lord your God. We have to love him. And we have to love him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. Basically, like I said, simply put, with everything we have. That should be our main focus and priority. This is the great and first commandment. It's the greatest commandment because obviously it encompasses everything. If we love God with everything we have, we're going to follow him. And it's the first commandment. Obviously, that has to be the basis for something. It's like faith and belief for a Christian. If we don't have belief or even faith in God, the rest isn't going to follow. If we don't love God and really try to serve him with great effort, the rest isn't going to come into play as far as us getting all really perfecting our faith. It's the greatest and first commandment. Obviously, like we read in Ecclesiastes, it was coined there that it's our whole duty. Again, I want to read this again just because it's just such a great scripture in this point and lesson. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Again, we know there's so much more to this, but that should be encouraging to us. We should be able to take a breath in the week and just know that I need to be afraid of God and what I can face if I don't serve him. And I need to keep his commandments. And going back to what we just talked about, we need to remind ourselves that this is why I was made, was just to serve him and to do what he wants me to do. It's the greatest commandment. We're at the point of being a Christian and we're trying to follow and do what God wants us to do, the first and greatest commandment is love God with all you have. And it's our whole duty. And so, once again, serving him, we should be reminded by that, that that's what it is all about. Some examples here. Some I had mentioned already and some not, but when you think of these, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Job, Daniel, the disciples, again, it can be encouraging to know, I've talked about this some on Sunday morning, about Paul and the Thessalonians and this relationship he has with them and how they're far away from his home, but he's writing these letters to them, he's wanting to check on them. And why is that? It's because obviously he's trying to spread the gospel, but it's encouraging to have other Christians around and not being alone and to spread the gospel and to have other believers and people with the same goal. And so that's always encouraging to us. Obviously, these are great heroes or examples in the Bible for us to look to, too. In thinking of this lesson and topic of what our life is about and giving up those things that we often spend too much time and effort in, think of these people in what Abraham gave up and all the travels he went through and serving God and Joseph and the hardships he faced young in his life and him becoming to a role of high authority and status, and Moses leading the people and, like I said, growing up in that royalty and being able to tell God, that's too much for me to do. I don't want to do that. I have it pretty made here where I'm at. Job and all the riches that he had. At that time was the richest man around, and you go into Job and you look at all he had with his flocks, his servants, all of his animals, the land he possessed, and then he goes through all those hardships, and he still knows that all those riches didn't matter. His point was to serve God, and he got even down to the point where he had nothing, but he still knew that what mattered was just his service to God. And Daniel, the disciples, like I said, giving up their lives, those should be encouraging us in knowing that when we struggle with those things that can get in our way of really perfecting our faith and us really growing and helping each other and serving God and just keeping a simple mind of I'm just here to serve God, those should be encouraging us to know that people in the Bible in the past and Christians have given up way more than I have. There are so many who had those things that we try to get and gain so often, but they had those, but they gave them up because they knew that wasn't what it was about. That wasn't true satisfaction. Once we obey the gospel, we have to serve God and keep it simple and just know that we have to serve Him. But after, in our service, we can't just stop there. We have to spread His gospel to others. That's what it's all about. If we just are saved ourselves, and then we, even if we are living in servitude to God and obeying Him, but if we're not spreading the gospel to others, we're really falling short of what our life is all about. 2 Timothy 4, let's turn there, please. There's a few verses here I'd like to read. 2 Timothy chapter 4. the first five verses. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The last verse there kind of sums it up. It says, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That last phrase, fulfill your ministry, that word fulfill, again, that kind of focuses on a bigger general picture of our life and fulfilling something. That's our fulfillment in our ministry, is we need to teach others. And that should be something else that we focus on, instead of getting caught up again in all the things that we do that can get in our way and hinder us from spending time in teaching others and talking to others about the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach all nations, teach everyone. Obviously, we know that there's no people, no one who's not worthy of the gospel, that God is no respecter of persons. But again, it's another simple verse of we should be going and teaching anyone and everyone that we have an opportunity to. And we have to keep that in mind, again, spreading His gospel. It's another main purpose of our life. It's interesting, too, when you sum up our purpose of, obviously, we have to accept the gospel and become Christians. We have to serve God and make sure that our lives are in order. And then we have to teach it to others and try to tell them. It's a cycle that we obey the gospel and we believe this message. And we serve God and then we teach others. And hopefully they will accept it. And it's just a cycle. And that's really what life is about. And that's God's plan, is for us to be saved and serve Him and then to teach others. Because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants us all to repent and to be saved. In conclusion, I just want to reiterate these 3 points again, because like I said, I think it's encouraging to me when I try to step back and know that those things, I keep referring to them as things that can be stressful or overwhelming or time-consuming, whatever. And like I said, they're good within themselves and they bring us lots of enjoyment. And there's no reason that we should have to give up a lot of those things. But like I said, in times of stressment and being overwhelmed, just remember that our life's about God. That's it. That's why we were created, and we should accept the gospel and be saved. We should serve Him, and then we should help try to teach others. And that should help encourage us in not being weighed down with things at times. Like I said, God, obeying the gospel, serving Him, teaching others. That's it. It's simple. Ask yourself, what is your life about? Again, obviously, we have other things in our life besides just spiritual things, but are you making it your main focus? Is it what you spend most of your time in? Is it something that gets to the point where it's a stress, something that we're trying to make our life easier with or happy? Is it becoming your main priority? Is it what you're all about? Is it your purpose? And so ask ourselves, that should be challenging to us to think about, am I keeping it simple? Am I focusing on why I was created and what my main purpose is? in all circumstances in life, always remember your purpose. That's it. Just we need to remember our sole purpose, like I said, and why we're created in serving God. At this time, we extend the invitation. Like I said, we have to first obey the gospel. If there are those here who haven't started what your sole purpose is, that's the first step, is that you have to be baptized. We have to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus and want to change from your ways and repent. You have to confess your faith before men. You can do that here and be baptized and then continue your purpose in serving Him. At this time, we ask that if you have any need, that you would come as we stand and sing.